Jesus said that the reason his disciples couldn't see the right results wasn't because they didn't have faith, but because they had unbelief. Today, we're going to talk about how do you overcome that type of unbelief. This is going to help you, so stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. So this third type of unbelief that I was describing, what I call a natural unbelief, is something that every person has to deal with. Here's what you are believing for. You're believing for a healing, and yet your body or the doctor says that you're sick. Now, that's not necessarily of the devil. They're just telling you what they see. They're telling you what their tests reveal. It's not demonic. It's just natural truth. And you know what? There is a natural unbelief that comes when what you see or feel doesn't line up with what God's Word says. And to get the results that Jesus is talking about here, you have to believe and doubt not in your heart. How do you keep from having this natural type of doubt? Unbelief come up when you just see and feel things differently than what God's Word says. How do you keep that unbelief from diluting and negating your faith? Man, that is a powerful question right there. Well, you know how you do it? Ultimately, it's this whole teaching that I've been doing on hardness of heart. You have to just stay so focused on the things of God that you refuse to think on the things that are natural. You refuse to let your five senses dominate you. And you can do that. I know some of you are thinking, oh, you can't do things like this. Well, here's another way of expressing it. I believe that when God created man, He actually created us with six senses, not just five, not just what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. I believe that originally, man operated by faith. We were created in God's image, and God is a God of faith. He calls those things which be not as though they were. He wasn't limited to what you can just see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And I believe He created us in His image, and before sin entered into the earth, I believe that Adam and Eve walked by faith. They didn't walk by sight. Did you know when their eyes were opened, they were open to the physical realm, is what this is talking about. Their eyes had been opened in the spiritual realm. They had been able to see and perceive God. Now, whether they saw Him physically, I'm not saying that, but they could perceive Him. They could see Him. They could relate to Him. And to prove it, it was like they were nearly blind in the physical realm. The first thing that they became aware of when their eyes were opened, the first thing they became aware of was that they were naked. Did you know that they weren't one stitch more naked after they sinned than they were before they sinned? They were both naked before they sinned. They didn't have a robe of righteousness, as some people talk about symbolically. They were just totally naked before they sinned. They were totally naked after their sin, but the difference was their eyes were open to it. Now, this doesn't mean that they had never noticed that the other person was naked. I believe that they noticed it, but it wasn't where their focus was. They weren't walking by what they could see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. They were really living and dominated by that faith realm. They were seeing things from their heart. And I've done some teaching on this. I hadn't got time to go back through it. But you can actually see better with your heart than you can see with your physical eyes. You can perceive clearer with your heart than you can with your physical eyes. And I believe that Adam and Eve originally lived in that realm. When they sinned, their eyes were opened, and what happened was they began to start focusing upon the physical realm instead of the spiritual realm. And because of that, this sixth sense of faith, we begin to be hardened towards it. I believe that we were all built with the ability to know things that bypassed your peanut brain's processing power. Every one of you at some time or another have been considering what you should do and debating, should I do this, should I do that? You go ahead and do something, and the moment you do, you fail, and all of a sudden you think, I knew I shouldn't have done that. How did you know it? There wasn't anything that told you. It was just a sixth sense of faith. I believe that God gave us that ability, and all of us have seen this at times, but I believe in a sense we've de-evolved to where most people don't walk by faith. They just walk by their five senses. So here's my illustration that I'm trying to make. When you lose one of your five senses, say for instance, if you go blind, did you know that people can still walk around? I've seen people walk around town with one of these sticks and cross streets and walk over curbs and do things like this. You can learn to adapt. You can get to where you start using your sense of feel and your sense of hearing. You actually get to where those things become more conditioned, more toned, more receptive to them. And what you do, you begin to rely on those other senses more than you relied on your sense of sight. And so you can still function, you just start depending upon these other senses. Well, it's a similar type of thing. When God tells you to do something, and you have a promise in God's Word, and yet everything you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel looks contrary to it. The Lord says you're healed. The doctor says you're dying. Your body says you hurt. The mirror tells you you're losing weight. It's getting worse instead of better. What do you do when what you see is contrary to what you believe? Well, if you exercise yourself, if you develop it, you can get to where you depend upon that sixth sense of faith as much or more than you depended upon your five senses. And it's not that the five senses just shut down and don't function. They will feed you information, but you are more dominated by what you believe than you are by what you see. Now, that's an amazing truth. And some people, this just sounds like this is unobtainable. You can't live that way. You know what I am? I'm not saying that I've arrived, but I've left. I'm moving in that direction. And there are areas that honestly what I see isn't near as real to me as what I believe. And I've seen good results, including people raised from the dead because of that. It works. And this is what Jesus was talking about. They said, why couldn't we cast this demon out? He said, it's not because you don't have faith. It's because you got unbelief. If your faith was only this big, it would be enough to provide whatever miracle you've got. I want to encourage you today and tell you, you do have enough faith. If you were born again, you were given the faith of the Son of God. You've got enough faith. You have the potential on the inside of you to see any miracle that God wants to happen in your life come to pass. Faith isn't the problem. The problem is you've got unbelief that is diluting and negating your faith. And you got to get rid of that unbelief. So how do you get rid of this unbelief? Well, again, I mentioned there were three types of unbelief. The first one is unbelief that comes through ignorance. The answer is you teach them the truth. There's unbelief that comes through wrong teaching. The answer is you teach them the truth. But how do you get rid of this third type of unbelief? An unbelief that just comes through natural senses. You just don't see what you're believing for. How do you deal with that? Jesus answered that in verse 21. After he had said, let's go back to verse 20. Jesus answered about why they couldn't cast this spirit out. He said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye should say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Then in verse 21, he says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Did you know the way that I've read this a lot of times, and I've never heard anybody else interpret this verse the way that I'm about to interpret it. But I don't believe that I'm wrong. I believe that this is exactly what it's saying. But here's what most people think that this verse says. Most people think that this is talking about this kind of demon only goes out through prayer and fasting. I've had this expressed towards me many times. I remember a woman when I was in Childress, Texas, that they told me about this woman was demon-possessed and that she'd given her soul over to the devil and that Satan walked in and sat in her chair and told her on such and such day he was going to completely kill her. This woman was crazy and out of her mind and they had to physically restrain her and they asked if they could bring her to me so that I could cast these demons out. And I said, sure, bring her on. And they said, but these are strong demons. You got to fast and pray. And they made me fast for a week before they brought this woman. You know what? If I was fasting every time I dealt with somebody who's demon-possessed now, I'd be plumb gone by now. But anyway, I did it. I fasted. And when this woman came in, it's a long story, but I got her delivered just by telling her the truth. It wasn't me casting the spirit out. It was the truth that drove the demons out. But see, this was the interpretation. This is the way that a lot of people think it is, that there are some demons that are so strong you can only get rid of them through prayer and fasting. the fallacy with that kind of thinking is that if you say that the name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus isn't enough to get a person delivered, instead you had to add to it your fasting and prayer, well, then that's diminishing and belittling the atonement of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, if Jesus isn't enough and faith in His name isn't enough, then your prayer and fasting isn't going to get it done either. That is totally wrong thinking, to think that some demons only respond to you and your prayer and fasting and how holy you are. Nope, that's wrong. So what's this talking about? I believe that the answer is the context of it in the previous verse. He says the problem was your unbelief. And he's talking about this type, this kind of unbelief only comes out through much prayer and fasting. And again, I say that there's three types. The first two types, ignorance and wrong belief, can be countered by just telling a person the truth. But the type of unbelief that comes through what you see, just comes through your five senses, the very fact that you aren't seeing and experiencing what you're believing for, that's going to cause you to have thoughts of unbelief. How do you overcome that type of unbelief? This says that it only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, that's a strong statement, and this makes much more sense to me than thinking that there's certain demons that only respond to prayer and fasting. I tell you what, if you ever run across a demon that the name of Jesus and faith in His name isn't enough, I can promise you your fasting and prayer is not going to be enough either. If Jesus isn't enough, there's nothing that you can add to it. That's not what this is talking about. It's saying that this kind of unbelief, showing that there are different types of unbelief, an unbelief that comes through ignorance, an unbelief that comes through wrong teaching, and then a natural unbelief that is just a result of you aren't seeing what you've believed for. That type of unbelief, this natural type of unbelief, is what you overcome through prayer and fasting. That's powerful. And you know, I've got a lot more to share on that, and so I'm going to have to continue this on our program tomorrow. So I encourage you to join me tomorrow for the Gospel Truth, and listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive these materials, and then call or write today.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a four-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request TK59 titled The Cure when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Have you ever thought about coming to Bible college? You know, I know that that's a big decision, but preparation time is never wasted time. And we see people's lives changed. And to even make it more convenient, we not only have the school in Colorado Springs, but we have an online Bible school where you actually go through at your own pace, but you are in a group. There is interaction. There's a facilitator. We have correspondence courses. And we have 15 different college campuses located around the world. So certainly there is some way to accommodate your desire to learn more about the Word of God. So call us at 719-635-1111 and ask about one of our Caris Bible colleges.